Exodus chapter 28, and also the book of John chapter 1. Genesis 28, we'll read verses 10 through verse 17, and then we'll go over to John chapter 1. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again unto this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And then over in John chapter 1, we'll read verse 51. Jesus doing the speaking, and he saith unto him, that is Nathanael, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. In Genesis 28, we have an event in the life of Jacob, in which we see a type of Christ. We see Christ portrayed. And this is seen in verse 12, a ladder. Brother Duane, would you go back to the fellowship hall, see if there's a ladder in that storage room? And if so, bring it. Set it right here. Okay, a ladder set up in the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And then we read in John 1, what we see here is Christ's words to Nathanael. And Christ is calling to the mind of Nathanael the picture that we have in Genesis 28. In other words, Christ is identifying and explaining the ladder here in John chapter 1. In John 1, verse 51, notice Jesus prefixes what he says with the words, verily, verily. The Greek word is omen, same word that we have for amen. Thank you, brother. I don't know what I'm going to have it there for yet, but I'll think of something. Conveys the idea of that which is sure, that which is true. So So what Christ is saying is, what I am saying to you, Nathanael, is truth. It is reality. Christ is making reference to this incident in Jacob's life. And he says, the reality of Jacob's ladder is me, is myself. He is saying the ladder which Jacob saw that was set upon the earth and reached all the way in the heaven. Duane didn't bring us a ladder that tall, but reached all the way in the heaven. That ladder was me. That was me. That's what he's telling Nathanael. So we're going to speak this morning on Christ, the ladder. Christ, the ladder. First of all, consider this incident in Jacob's life back here in Genesis 28. What is recorded here in Genesis 28 is a very significant moment in the life of Jacob. We all know the story of Jacob. Isaac and Rebekah, when they were expecting twins, who would be Esau and Jacob, God had given the promise to Rebekah that the younger of the two would receive the birthright, which of course was not the usual custom. With the birthright came headship of the family and a double portion of the inheritance. So when the time of the birth arrived, Esau comes forth first, which would make him the rightful heir to the birthright. But from God's promise, Jacob would be the heir to the birthright. Eventually, the time would come for Isaac to confer the blessing of the birthright upon Esau. Jacob and his mother, instead of trusting God to keep his word, they begin to panic. There's a message here. And they begin to plot. They begin to plan. You don't need to do that when you have God's word. But that's what Jacob and his mother do. And the reason they're doing it is because they want to make sure that God gets, that Jacob gets the blessing. You don't need to do that. So they make Jacob up like Esau. Jacob pretends to be Esau. Isaac is old. Isaac is half blind, three quarters blind. So he does not know who he's bestowing the birthright upon, and he bestows it upon Jacob. When Esau finds out, we read in Genesis 27:41, and Esau hated Jacob. And as you read on there, you see that he has intentions to kill Jacob. But he wants to wait till Isaac, their father, passes away and the proper time of mourning passes. Rebekah hears of Esau's intent, and again she begins to plot. And she instructs Jacob to flee to her brother's house in Haran, which is about 500 miles away. Now, Esau had married two local foreign women, which was very upsetting to Rebekah and Isaac. So Rebekah, in order to facilitate Jacob going to Haran, she tells her husband Isaac in Genesis 27:46, and I paraphrase, if Jacob marries as his brother a foreign woman, my life will be worthless. This is what she's telling her husband. What she's saying is, I will not be able to handle Esau's already married two foreign women. I'm not going to be able to handle Jacob marrying a foreign woman. So I think he needs to go to my brother's house in Hebron. She was planting the seed in Isaac's mind. There's a message there also, women, of planting the seed in your husband's minds. But she was planting the seed for Isaac to send Jacob to Haran. The reason she really wants him there is to escape Esau. As a result of the seed planted, Isaac instructs his son Jacob in Genesis 28, verses 1 and 2. And Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Again, remember Rebekah's addressed her concern because she wants to get Jacob to Haran. Arise, go to Padan-Aram and the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from hence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. So Jacob is told, you need to go. And we want to see in this incident two matters. First of all, the setting, and then the dream. The setting, coming to verse 10, Jacob leaves Beersheba, and he's heading toward Haran. Again, a journey of about 500 miles. Very dangerous journey through foreign territory. To get there, not from here, but from Beersheba, you would travel north, and then you would go east across the Jordan River, and then you would go north again toward Damascus, and then you would go east to Tadmor, and then north again for the final leg of the journey, which would end up in crossing the Euphrates River, and you would finally arrive in Haran. Not far from the southern border of modern-day Turkey. So there's Jacob heading out on this journey. He has lied and blatantly deceived his father. He has used his father, taking advantage of his frailty for his own selfish gain. He has stolen his brother's blessing. Family ties have been severed. Esau is bent on killing his brother Jacob. Jacob is now homeless, greatly endangered, and in reality, Jacob is fleeing for his life. He is a fugitive from his brother's threatenings. So there he is, the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham, the bearer of the promise of God. He's away from home, running for his life. We do not know what was going on inside of Jacob. We don't know what was going on in his mind. We can only imagine. But having deceived his own father, taking advantage of his father's frailty, tricking him in his old age, and having said goodbye to both his father and mother, and there's no record that he would ever see either one again, certainly not Isaac, and he's leaving everything that is familiar to him. I imagine Jacob is in great turmoil. Not sure what's going on in his mind, but I'm sure he's in great turmoil. Verse 11, he comes to a certain place, just outside of Luz. And the sun had set, so he decides to sleep there. He comes to this place, probably filled with fear, certainly with uncertainty. And there he is, in the darkness of the night, surrounded by desert, under a death threat. Good picture of the lost sinner. And he lays down upon the ground, and he takes a rock for his pillow. Looking at Jacob, you see a man who is in desperate need. A man who is in desperate need of a miracle. Here is a man who needs only what God can do. And he falls asleep. And we read in verse 12, and he dreamed. So let's consider the dream. And he dreamed. And behold, in this dream, his attention is drawn to something. Behold, a ladder. Now, what the ladder looked like is debated. There's no need to debate it, but people like to debate. Is it a ladder like we understand? I mean, did it look like that, except taller? Or was it more like a stairway? And people will argue back and forth. Probably even split fellowship and get on Facebook. But what matters more than its appearance is its purpose. The appearance really doesn't mean a thing. What is the purpose of this ladder? Well, it says that it was set up on the earth. That is, the feet of it was on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. That speaks, of course, of the extent of the ladder. So you can only imagine this ladder going all the way up into the heavens, as far as you can see. So there's this vision of a ladder joining heaven and earth. That's what this ladder is doing. It's joining heaven and earth. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. What is the purpose of a ladder? It's to provide a way of access. In this case, it is the way between Jacob, who is the conniver and deceiver, and heaven. It is the way of access from earth to heaven. And then we read, and behold, another behold. So his attention is drawn first to this ladder. And then the next thing his attention is drawn to is the angels of God. And they're doing something. They're ascending, they're going up the ladder, and they're descending, coming down from the ladder. So there's this ladder set up upon earth, reaching into heaven, and there is angelic activity going on upon this ladder. Angels are going up, angels are coming down. Hebrews 1, verse 14, we are told that the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to them that shall be the heirs of salvation. Do you believe in angels? Well, if you believe God's word, you have to. And they're ministering spirits. So the angels of God are ascending and descending on this ladder. They are ministering spirits. So that what that means is what you have going on this ladder is really the help and ministry of heaven is taking place on this ladder. Angels going up, angels coming down. all the interaction between heaven and earth is by way of this ladder in Jacob's dream. Everything going on between heaven and earth is by this ladder in Jacob's dream. Jacob sees the ladder as a two-way bridge between earth and heaven. So this ladder in Jacob's dream, set up upon the earth, the top of it reaches into heaven, serves as a link, serves as a connector between heaven and earth. So this ladder brings heaven and earth together. It touches both. It's set up upon the earth and it reaches into heaven. So this ladder concerns both earth and heaven. And then we read in verse 13, and behold, another behold. So his attention first is focused on the ladder. Then his attention is focused on the angels going up, the angels coming down. And then, and behold, now his attention is directed towards something else. Behold. The Lord stood above it. The ladder's reaching all the way into heaven. And there's the Lord. The Lord was the one that this ladder reached. He's the individual. He's the person that the ladder reached. Then we read that the Lord spake from the ladder down to earth to Jacob. And the first words out of his mouth were, I am the Lord God. So what is God doing on top of this ladder? He's revealing himself. God is revealed by way of the ladder to Jacob. Verse 13 through 15, God gives a gracious promise to Jacob. Again, everything's connected to the ladder. Jacob is here down below. God is up in heaven. God has spoken, I am the Lord God. And now he gives a promise to Jacob. The promise is, to paraphrase, Jacob, I'm going to bless you. I am going to bless you. Jacob is undeserving of any blessing from God. Jacob is a wretch. But there's this ladder set up where Jacob is. If Jacob's down here, I'd sit down, but I might not be able to get back up. Jacob's sitting here, the ladder goes all the way into heaven. And God is saying, by way of this ladder, Jacob, I am going to bless you. The blessings will come down from this ladder. In verse 15, there's the promise of God's presence. Again, by way of the ladder. There is the promise of God's keeping. And notice verse 15. And will keep thee in all places. Jacob, wherever you go, all places, wherever it is, I am going to bless you. Again, by way of this ladder. It is a promise of the faithfulness of God. And He says, I will bring thee again to this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. So what Jacob experienced that night is in connection with this ladder. Set up upon the earth, reaching all the way in heaven. And behold, the Lord stood above it. So there was this ladder. If you follow it all the way to the top, the heavens are opened. And God was there. The miracle that night was not that God showed up. The miracle is the ladder revealed. That's the miracle. In verse 16, Jacob waked out of his sleep and said, surely, the Lord is in this place. He was moved. And he called the place the house of God, or the dwelling of God. And he also referred to it as the gate, or the entrance of heaven. And then he took measures to never forget what happened that night. He took that rock that he laid his head upon, he anointed it, built an altar. Which brings us to John chapter 1. Christ, the fulfillment. In John 1, Christ is speaking to Nathanael. And he says to Nathanael in verse 51, hereafter. Now if you back up, you see, if you follow me, ye shall see heaven open. Ye shall see heaven open. And the angels of God ascending and descending, referring to Jacob's dream, upon, not the ladder, but upon the Son of Man. So Jesus is saying here, I am the ladder which Jacob saw. I am the ladder which Jacob saw the angels of God ascending and descending. Now again, there is debate as to what Jesus is referring to when he said, ye shall see the heavens open. And in the debate, people will go back to the times that the heavens were opened in Christ's ministry. Many will say, well, that's referring to his baptism. No, that's not referred to in his baptism, you heretic. That's referring to his transfiguration. No, you heretic, that's referring to his ascension. And then someone else says, you're all wrong, it refers to a second coming. And someone else says, well, I believe it refers to all of them. But I believe what Jesus is saying here doesn't concern any of those things. I believe what he's saying is heaven is open. Heaven is accessible by way of this ladder. By way of me. Nathanael, heaven is open by way of me. In other words, on account of Jesus Christ, there is access. Remember who's at the top? There is access to God through Jesus Christ. There is access to heaven. The truth that is presented here is that Jesus is the connection between heaven and earth. Jesus is the place. Jesus is the means by which people meet with God. You cannot meet with God outside of Jesus Christ. What Jesus says here is just another way of saying, I am the mediator between God and man. I am the one who brings the message from God to you, and I am the one who goes back into the presence of God for you. So what Jesus says here is just another way of declaring that He is the Word of God. He is the revelation, the expression, the communication of God. And just like that ladder that Jacob saw in his dream, just as that ladder was the way from earth to heaven and from heaven to earth, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. If I want to clean my gutters, not today because it's the Lord's day, but tomorrow, and I need to, by the way. If I want to clean my gutters, I can't do that without a ladder. And no matter how hard I jump, no matter how many times I try, I will never, ever reach that gutter. Never. And no matter how hard you try, lost sinner, to reach God, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You need a way of access to God. And that way of access is the ladder. And Jesus is the ladder. There is no other way to reach God. Jesus is the ladder. Again, the ladder, it's set up upon earth. It reaches all the way into heaven. That's a great distance. But Jesus spans that distance. There's also a great difference between earth and heaven. And Jesus brings the difference together. Jesus is the ladder. Jesus is the way that connects the distance between God and man. In this case, in Genesis 28, Jesus is the way that connects the distance between Jacob, the liar, and the conniver, and the cheat. He's the one who connects the distance between Jacob and God. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, communion and fellowship with God was severed. And as a result, God and man are separated. There was a detachment. There was a disconnect between God and man. And Jesus is the one, He is still the one, who connects the distance between the two. Baptism doesn't connect that distance. Your good works does not connect that distance. Though the distance that exists between the unrighteous, the guilty, the filthy, the polluted and vile sinner, and a holy and righteous and pure God, that distance is immeasurable. Jesus is the one who spans the difference. Still is today. He's still the ladder. He's the way out. He's the way to God. He's the way to heaven. He's the way out of the life of Jacob. So what Jacob saw that night in that ladder was Jesus. It was Jesus. So let's apply this to ourselves. In the text in Genesis 28, what could have been just another night under the sky became an encounter with God. Aren't you glad that what could have been February 17th, 1972, what could have been just an ordinary day, wasn't. Because God came by way of the ladder where I was. And it was not an ordinary day. And this was not an ordinary night in Jacob's life. God appears to Jacob in a dream. A very crucial point, a very crucial place in Jacob's life. You and I, our place may be a storm. Our place may be trouble. Our place may be traps. Our place may be bondage, entanglements. The place in your life might be a place of upheaval and chaos. The place in your life may be a place of failure and defeat. It may be a place of discouragement. It may be a place of torment. Your place may be a place of misery or distress or affliction or trials. Your place may be a place of extreme pressure. May be a place of temptations, battles, and obstacles. But whatever your place is, whatever your place might be in the future, there's this ladder. And it's Jesus. And it's set on earth. It's firm. It's set right where you are. Whatever your place might be, there it is. There he is, we should say. There is Jesus. And that ladder in your place, wherever that might be, reaches all the way to heaven. Reaches all the way to God. We all get there. We all have these experiences where you just feel so far from God. Oh, we have times where we feel so close to God. Those are glorious times. But there are also times when you feel, I'm so far from God. And in that place, there's this ladder. There's Jesus. And though you're so far from God, by way of this ladder, you can go to God. You can go to God. And the ministering spirits, God's help from heaven, comes down this ladder. Comes down through and by Jesus Christ to where we are. There we are in our place of misery. There we are in our place of sorrow, in our place of trial. And down come the blessings of God. By way of this ladder. Jesus Christ. In other words, heaven is open. By way of the ladder. And how many times we've been in our place. And down from the ladder. Down from Jesus Christ. By way of Jesus Christ. Comes the life that we need. Just comes down to us. Down from this ladder comes the light that we need. And the refreshment and the healing. Down from this ladder, down from Jesus Christ. By way of Jesus Christ comes the mending. And the strength and the hope and the help. The contentment and the comfort and the relief and the joy and the delight and the courage and the victory that we need. How many times you have sat in dreadful places and comes down from heaven just exactly what you need. And I assure you today it comes down by way of the ladder. It comes down by way of Jesus Christ. He's our connection to God. So that ladder is Jesus. Wherever my place may be, that ladder is fixed. It's always good before you get on a ladder to make sure it's sturdy, steady. Make sure it's fixed. Make sure it's settled. Secure. There isn't anything more secure than Jesus Christ. And the feet of that ladder is set up in my place, wherever that place might be. And it's secure. And it reaches all the way to heaven. Reaches all the way to God. So our place might be one of difficulty. Might be one of sorrow. Might be one of heaviness. Might be one of hurt. Might be in a very demanding place. Might find yourself in an agonizing place. You might find yourself in an empty place. But behold! Behold, open your eyes! In that place, there's a ladder. There He is, Jesus. Right where you are. Behold the ladder. And behold the extent of it. It reaches all the way to heaven. And from this ladder descends the blessings of Almighty God. By way of this ladder descends the blessings of gracious, merciful, all-sufficient God. And though ours might be a place of great trial and need, don't just focus on your misery. Don't just focus on your trials and your burdens. Behold, there's a ladder. There's a ladder. Comes down right where you are. And it reaches all the way into the heavens. Behold. That ladder is Jesus. I must be able to see the ladder. Got to see it. But I need more than just to see the ladder. I need to see it. And I need to see it starts down here and goes all the way up to God. I need to see that. Seeing that, I know this is the way to God. This is the way to God. So the next thing I need to do is I need to take hold of the ladder. You see the ladder? Again, Dwayne didn't bring us one tall enough, but this ladder goes all the way into heaven. And you take hold of the ladder. Wherever your place is, take hold of the ladder. This ladder's not very steady, brother. Take hold of the ladder. And then by faith, you put your foot on the ladder. And you put another foot. And another. And another. And each time I'm getting higher and higher and further away from my place down here. I'm getting closer and closer to God. And I want to tell you something. The higher I get on this ladder, things look different from up here. There is a ladder. That ladder is Jesus Christ. Behold the ladder. Take hold of the ladder. By faith, ascend the ladder. This is the answer. This is the answer. You don't have to plan and scheme and plot like Rebecca and Jacob. You don't have to do that. There is a ladder, and all the interaction between heaven and earth comes by way of that ladder, Jesus Christ. Trust Him. Lay hold of Him. Go the way of the ladder, and you'll be blessed. If you're here and lost, again, the only way, do you mean the only way? I mean the only way to God is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Do you mean there is no other way? I mean there is no other way. You mean not baptism? There is no other way. Jesus Christ is the way. And you will never reach God without this ladder. Not this particular ladder, but without Jesus Christ. Not going to happen. And all the blessings that have come down from heaven to me and to you has been by way of this ladder. Jesus Christ. Brother Larry, if you'd come, verse 5.